The whole question of people being enslaved throughout the world, and there's millions of them, sadly. She and all her colleagues in Hope for Justice are trying to find a way to bring freedom to those slaves. And even people are even enslaved in our own country. And we saw a video about that. And I think that we sometimes just don't take that seriously enough. We don't realise that that's happening in our own town, in our own area, but it actually is. There's thousands of people who live in Britain now who are enslaved. And Hope for Justice is doing an absolutely fantastic job. You may find there are still some leaflets from this morning left around. I would encourage you to have a look at them. Maybe it's something you'd like to get involved with. It's something that the church currently contributes to, and it's good. You know, I think if we're, as individuals, contributing to the same things as the church are, you know, so we're, you know, all in it together, as it were. It sort of amplifies the effects of the church's giving. So this evening I want to talk about the wider issues of justice and peace. I don't know about you, but I can become quite complacent about the state of the world. You know, I think we're sort of immunized by all the things we see on the television. We just kind of like it, kind of just hits us, and we just become immune to how awful it is for an awful lot of people. So I'm going to do something really horrible, and I'm going to just touch on a few things that are sort of the world statistics. Probably lots of you know this in your heads already, but I just found it quite distressing, to be honest, to put this together. So, you know, just bear with me. Now, I don't know how many of us are here today. I think it's looking somewhere close to 40, actually, I would think. So if we were the entire world, you know, us here, then 24 of us would live in Asia. 6 of us would live in Africa. 4 of us would live in South America and the Caribbean. There's an interesting split, that, isn't it? You know, so, I mean, 24 of us, let's say, all of you lot and a few more, and the rest is the rest of the world. Amazingly, 11 would live in Europe, and only, sorry, 5 would live in Europe, just 5 out of the 40 of us. So just that little group over in the back over there. And 2 would live in North America. Okay? So, you know, it's just me and one other. It's amazing. So out of the 40 of us, 5 of us would speak Chinese. Yeah, that can be a lot there. 2 of us would speak Spanish, 2 would speak English, and then 1 of each of the rest would speak Arabic, Hindi, Bengali, and Portuguese. 1 would speak Russian, 1 would speak Japanese. And the rest would speak, which is the majority, the rest would speak a whole lot of other languages. That's the makeup of the world in language terms. I don't know about you, that's quite surprising, isn't it? I find it surprising. But then we get on to the trickier stuff. So, 14. You lot. Sadly, no toilet. But it's actually a big deal. Well, maybe no toilet or a really inadequate, totally insanitary situation. So basically, I don't know if you've seen the toddler group have sponsored toilets abroad, and there's, what's it called? Twin toilets. So if you look at the pictures on those are considered to be really adequate. Have you had a look at them? You really look. You wouldn't think it was all that adequate, but it, by comparison to a large proportion of the world, it's absolutely fantastic. 15, again, that same sort of number. 15 would be undernourished. So you lot over there, I'm sorry, you know, you're just not getting enough food. 15 out of the 40 of us would be undernourished. 16 out of the 40, illiterate. So those Bibles sitting on your tables would be absolutely no use to you. 19, that's almost half of you, would be surviving on less than $2 a day. That's £700 a year if you, roughly. Half the world survives on less than $2 a day. But when I read that, I mean, I just pulled up a whole lot of stuff off the internet to put this together. It's easy to find, but it's not very nice to read. That is seriously poor, isn't it? It's not all bad news, I might say. Poverty has actually dropped. Extreme poverty, really extreme. You know, sort of the below $1 a day income has the number of people, the proportion of people living in those circumstances has changed. But actually, the vast majority of those people live in China. China has actually managed to pull a very large proportion of its population who is in extreme poverty out of that. So it kind of skews the stats for the rest of the world by the looks of it. So although it appears that extreme poverty proportionally is improving, actually, because the population of the world is growing, if you discount China, actually not got much better. However, it is getting better. You know, there are improvements, but you know, it's not brilliant. The sad fact is that the gap also between rich and poor has got wider. The rich are richer. The poor are staying where they are. The richest 1% of people in the world own more than the rest of the world put together. Just extraordinary, isn't it, when you think of it in those sort of terms? I find it kind of, it can engulf you, can swamp you. You just think, how can we possibly make a difference in these situations? In almost all countries of the world, except in Scandinavia, the rich are actually getting richer, and the poor cannot dig themselves out of their own relative poverty. Scandinavians seem to have figured it out, but the rest of the world, seemingly, that's not the case. Not even here. Kind of suggests that we need a bit of radical thinking. My main point is that the world is in a major mess. But equally, it's got to be said, it's not an impossible problem to solve. It is doable, and it needs doing. Because the gulf between the rich and the poor is kind of like the ultimate injustice. We know that Jesus himself was pretty much against this. But actually, many of the prophecies in the Old Testament also stand up for the poor and condemn inequality and injustice. In fact, the thinking of Jesus is totally rooted in the Old Testament. It wasn't entirely new what he was saying, although he was pretty radical about it. You know, he said some pretty ferocious things to the rich about getting their act together, or maybe it's getting our act together. And in many places, God shows himself to be on the side of the weak and the underprivileged, the enslaved and the downtrodden. He puts himself right beside them and says, I am your God. I'm your man. I will stand by you. In Deuteronomy 27 and verses 18 and 19, it says, cursed is he who misleads the blind man on the road, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who perverts justice for the foreigner, the orphan and the widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. I'm kind of fascinated that the foreigner is included in this, along with the widow and the orphan. You know, the widow and the orphan, well, they were part of the family of the nation, but the foreigner was somebody who'd come to live in their country, and yet he's still included. It's quite a challenge. It's quite a challenge at a time when, in a way, this feels like there's a load of people turning up in our country, arriving as desperate immigrants into Europe. And we can't ignore their situation. God is saying we need to look out for the foreigner, the widow and the orphan, our own people and the people coming in. And deep down inside, I kind of feel a bit uneasy about that. I'm a bit selfish about my country. I'm not sure, and I want to share. But then that is the standard human emotion, isn't it? We kind of tend to feel that about everything. But God is bringing home to us this thing that basically is saying, I'm bringing them to you. I'm sending these people to you, to a place of safety, a place where they can hear the good news of Jesus without persecution. He's bringing them to us so they can find a place of hope through us. That's a great opportunity. And I think it's an opportunity that our lovely elderly Anne obviously likes to take. You know, she's totally up for making sure that the people from the Far East that she comes across hear about Jesus, doesn't she? She's always up for that. Okay, so we need to take proper responsibility, I think, for our own people, for newcomers, for the foreigner, the orphan, the widow. We need to build enough homes in our own country for everybody, whoever they are. We need to make sure the education system's right. We need to make sure the health system's right. All these things we need to do. And it's for everybody. God is calling us to be generous and merciful and loving. And be just the same way to others as he is to us. He's calling us to be Christ-like. And that's not just in our corporate life as a church or in our national life, but personally as well. He's asking us to be personally accountable to other people. So what did Jesus say about our role in the world? Right, well, I think he's very clear when we come to that lovely set of sayings that he puts in the Beatitudes. I just want to read to you from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4 onwards what Jesus says. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now, I'm a child of God. You are children of God. You have been adopted into God's family. That's a fact. That's just a simple fact. We are children of God. So therefore, it says, well, we're peacemakers too. So it's our job, it's our task to be part of making peace, to understand the way other people's fears lead them to act unfairly to us. Very often it's people's fear that makes them act in a way that's unfair. And then for us to look at ways in which we can bridge across the chasm of distrust with others. I want to try. With God's strength, I can only do it if God inspires me. I want to try to be doing that with everybody that I know, everybody I meet. I'm not saying I'm going to succeed, but with God's empowering spirit within me, I've got a chance. You see, Jesus called me to be all these things. He called me to be meek, righteous, merciful, pure in heart, and a peacemaker. And you see, in this world, poverty, desperation, and injustice lead to the things that most blight our lives and the lives of everybody in the world. Those are the things that have knock-on effects. So much of the terrorism that we see is sourced originally from places of utter despair. Those that come from the ranks of people who have absolutely no hope left in life, what is there for them? Well, in a way, the suicide bomber sees a way out. He can end the pain of living this life and become a hero in the eyes of others with a single vengeful act. It's a horrible thought, but so much of injustice leads to horror, and not just the horror for the people who have injustice inflicted upon them. Our calling is to be meek, righteous, merciful, pure, and peaceful. Peaceable. Now, I know that for myself, I can only fail. I can only fail if I do not have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the trouble with a talk like this is that it can lead us to a place of guilt where we just think, well, I haven't done enough, I can't see how I can do enough, and we're just pressed down with guilt. I'm going to refuse to be like that. I want you to refuse to be like that, because guilt is the very thing that destroys our ability to be the people of God and to make a difference. Guilt is the thing that crushes our ability to do these things. And you know what? God himself died to make sure that we did not get crushed by guilt. We have got to allow God's forgiveness to wash over us and cleanse us from the guilt, and to resist guilt from polluting our lives so that we live guilt-free lives under the authority of the living God. He paid the price. God paid the price through Jesus our Lord. If we let guilt crush us, we're not letting him pay the price. No, what I will do is I will act, I will give, but I will not, I will refuse to be defeated by guilt. I hope that you will too. Next year, Jenny and I are going to Malawi. I am quite fearful about this. Jenny is quite excited. It will most definitely be taking me outside of my comfort zone. Most definitely. But I will go to proclaim God's grace. I will go and see the water and sanitation project that Jenny and I have been supporting through Tear Fund for the last few years. And the thing is, I'm actually accountable to those people. I'm accountable to them to make sure that what I've given through God's grace is used properly. So to go is to be totally accountable. I've interfered with their lives, and actually it has blessed them. It has blessed their children. It has blessed their daughters massively. Because those were the little girls that carried the water for miles and miles and couldn't go to school and couldn't attend church. Those kids are all being educated. I'm accountable to them and they to me. They are accountable to Jenny and me because we are part of a community of God. We've been hugely blessed and challenged by our involvement, because, you see, it only solves a tiny little bit of the problems that they face. But that tiny little bit is what makes a difference. God calls each of us to action in the way that he inspires us to. We're all called to different sorts of action. Whether it's in prayer, then we must be prayerful. Or perhaps it's to give our time, our resources, our money, our skills. Well then, if he calls us to that, we must answer the call. To act, to protest, to stand with the poor, and like Hope for Justice, to stand with the enslaved. We all have our part to play in this great, wonderful family of God that stretches from end to end round the whole of this globe. We all have our part to play. And it is a massive privilege. It is a wonderful thing to be able to be part of that in the smallest way or the biggest. We are God's children. And he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Let us pray for our world and for ourselves.